right. So by this time in the lecture series, unless you've jumped right to the bottom, into the last lesson, right as you started this, is that you've got a huge pile of knowledge that you've trying to juggle and keep track of and keep fresh and understand and refresh yourself on the areas that have the most trouble or difficulty for you. Probably the statistics sections, at least that's what I hear from most students. But you're preparing into the last week, say, before you sit down for the exam. You got it scheduled, you know where it is, you've got all your references and so on. So what are the last things that will make the biggest difference for you as you go down the home stretch? Well, one is have the right references. So throughout the course, there's opportunities to work sample problems. So the references and documents that you used to find answers, to look up formulas and so on, is a good place to start with your stack of references you take with you. Now, if you're doing it judiciously and looking at keeping these to a minimum, this is the list I would recommend, is the CRE Primer, which is from the Quality Council of Indiana. And they have blue pages in there, which are the sample problems. And since we're not allowed to take in sample problems to the exam area, is you'll have to remove those pages. But the O'Connor and Kleiner's Practical Reliability Engineering, the handbook, one or two other books that you found particularly useful for the areas you needed information, and then also a good statistics book, and one that you're familiar with is more important than any particular title. But your list may vary slightly from this, and let me know what you find useful. So I'm always looking to update this list and keep the recommendations current with what you as my students are finding most useful. So you're down to the last few days, you've got your notes and references organized, and you're pretty much ready to go. You've got your pencils, maybe an eraser, you got extra paper, calculator, extra battery, or a second calculator with a fresh battery. And if you have your ID and information you need to as you sign in for the exam, what is the proctor and the organization looking for? Once you signed up for the exam, they should send you some confirmation material as to where the exam's being held and what you need to bring with you to be admitted into the exam area. But the day before, get it organized, eat well, maybe exercise a little bit, take it easy, go to bed early, relax, breathe. Morning of the exam, wake up early so that you can have a comfortable start to the day, whatever your normal routine is. It's a good idea to eat a good breakfast because using your brain hard for 4 hours or so is a taxing endeavor. It's akin to running a marathon. It does take a lot of energy. So charge up the tanks. I think even having pasta the night before or carbo loading the night before is a prudent thing to do. But make sure you have plenty of energy and you've got good kinds of food that are hopefully not too far away from your normal routine. But plan on arriving early. Get there 15, 20, or even a half hour early. One, it's just in case you get lost or you can't find parking or whatever the circumstances are, you have some buffer to be on time. But more importantly is that you can pick the table. You can arrange yourself and get organized and be comfortable in the space as you're going to take the exam. Now, most of us are carrying smartphones these days, but even if you're not carrying a smartphone or just have a cell phone, leave it in the car. It's just going to be a distraction if it chimes off during the exam. If it has a calculator or a smartphone or web access, you're not going to be allowed to keep it in there anyway. So just plan on leaving it out there. Now relax. Your preparation part is done. Now it's time to perform. And getting plenty of oxygen is really a great way to keep your brain at top shape so that you can function and think through these problems. So you pick a nice table, you find a spot that has good lighting. Maybe if you want to stay warm in a warm part of the room or a cold part of the room, if you get there early, you may have a choice of where you sit, and so that you have some options here. So get your references out and ready, organize them like you did when you were studying and working problems, and then follow the instructions of the proctor. They will go through a series of instructions and preparation so that you have a suitable exam experience. And remember to keep breathing and just slow it down, relax. There's nothing you can study at this point that's really going to make a difference. Just get yourself organized and be ready to go. So then they say, go, start the exam. And it's a timed event, so you have a particular amount of time. If I remember right, it's 4 hours. Now, you've put in the work. You've done the sample exams. You've read through the material. You've got your references organized. And go through it. Work your way through it one step at a time. You don't have to answer every question the first time you see it. So if you can recognize a problem as one that will either take some time for research or it's just going to take some time to actually do the calculations, leave those for later. Answer the ones you know. Answer the ones you can look at and go, oh, that's the answer. Be sure, though, to read the entire question. It's oftentimes these questions will have one or two bits or phrases at the end that completely change which the appropriate answer. So it's not a speed test to see how few words you can find the right answer. It's finding the right answer. So read the question and don't try not to read anything into it, but focus on what the question is asking and answer the ones that you can quickly and come back to the ones that are going to take some more time to do later. And one thing I've heard from some students is create a marking system or a way to make sure that you're marking the answers in the appropriate spots. So as you skip a question in the exam booklet, make sure you skip its appropriate corresponding answer space in the exam sheets, in the answer sheets. So then after you've gone through the first pass and you've gone through and looked at the ones that are going to take a little bit more work or calculations to do, is then go back and check the ones that you had some more questions on. So at some point, you're going to have to make a response. And there's no pressure at this point. You're almost done. But give yourself a chance to double check a few of your answers. It's not second guessing yourself, but it's go back to the questions that you said, well, I got it down to two possible answers and I needed to double check an answer. Or that calculation didn't seem quite right. Let me redo that calculation. Those are the ones to go back to. So basic time hacks are get the easy ones first. And then if you run out of time, is then fill in the answers. There's no penalty for wrong answers. And when it's not answered at all, it's automatically wrong. So it's a multiple choice set of questions. So if the proctor gives you 5 or 10 minutes left, is make sure you filled in all of the answer. Each question has an answer marked. So the basic idea is that it starts with the way we practice the doing the sample exams, is make sure you're comfortable with your references and you are practiced at finding information that you typically need to look up. I don't happen to remember the formula for the log normal reliability function, so I know I'm going to have to look that one up. And having a convenient, quick way to do so will save you time during the exam. And then finally is, I know I've created a definition glossary, and I'm working on the formula glossary as I record this one and hope to have it out soon. But the idea is those things that you find that you're looking for on a regular basis, and they may be scattered across your references, is you can pull those together into your own set of notes. Those are perfectly fine, as long as you're not bringing in sample exam questions. So after the exam, relax. Get a cup of soup or a coffee and take the rest of the weekend off. You've been putting in a lot of extra hours, most likely, in the lead up to the exam. So take some time and relax. But also remember that you've just been exposed to and refreshed a lot of different tools in the reliability engineering world. And so use those skills, put them to work in your day-to-day work. If you're looking at process control, the SPC, and different kinds of charts, is a great way to master that is by actually putting it to work and using it on a regular basis. If you're looking at data, or if you're exploring different ways of organizing your reliability program, is review the materials that are relevant for you here and treat your day-to-day work job as just an extension of the exam. Now, it's not a multiple choice question, but you probably will have answers that are better than others and tailored to your particular circumstance. And relax. ASQ will send you the results. It's been quicker than it used to be. When I took it, it was about 6 to 8 weeks. Students these days are telling me they're getting answers within a couple of weeks. It always varies, and I'm not really sure why, but you will get the results eventually. And if you start hearing other people of getting their results and you're not hearing, get a hold of your proctor or get a hold of your local ASQ contacts to ask them about the status. Most of the times it comes fairly quick, and they'll either tell you that you passed and here's your recertification process, or that you didn't pass. And in some cases, they've provided, you know, areas that you still need some improvement on. And it's a tough test. We're not going to change that. But the more you spend time mastering this information and being well prepared for the exam, was more likely you're going to get the recertification packet and congratulations. So at any point during this process and right up to the last, if I'm at all available, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions I can. So as you go through and prepare for the exams or just reviewing this material, I'm here to help you. And if you've seen these prompts for asking questions all through the course. But more so after the course, if you've got questions about how to implement something at your day-to-day work, let me know. I'd be glad to help if I can. And it helps me understand which of these things are practical or useful, and also helps you to master the material and to actually get some value out of this process of attaining your CRE. And finally, thanks. Thanks for taking the course. I really do appreciate it. I'm very likely have heard from you once or many times during the course asking questions, and I certainly appreciate that. And then good luck. I know that the real value of getting the CRE is in what you do different now, is how you apply these tools and techniques to actually solve problems.